Virgil Crook, Sunday PM, July 25th, 2010.
Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And we'll read verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22. I think it's probably a familiar verse with most of us. The Lord has brought it to my mind many, many times. As we go through life, we have many opportunities to do what this psalm exhorts us to do. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. There's four words here that we want to look at quickly tonight. First one being cast, and then the second one, burden. Third one, sustain, and the last one, move, if we have time to get there. This is a precious verse to me. It's a precious, comforting, encouraging, uplifting recourse that you and I have who fear the Lord. The verses above this verse speak of those who don't fear the Lord. They seem to prosper, they seem to get along okay. But they don't fear the Lord. They don't have this recourse. If you don't fear the Lord, you cannot do what this verse exhorts us to do. He will sustain you. Who is he? Well, it's the Almighty, unchanging, ever-loving, tender, all-powerful, understanding God of the universe, who is also my Heavenly Father. There's no qualification. There's no qualification given here, and there's no qualification needed. How big, how extremely difficult, how overwhelming, how impossible is your burden? There's no limitation given here, just that you can cast your burden, whatever it is, upon him. You can always be sure that your Heavenly Father is always infinitely bigger than the biggest burden, than the biggest trial, than the biggest heartache that you have. Now, I realize that that's not how we sometimes think in the moment, but certainly it is true. The word cast means to throw out, to hurl, and it's used to describe throwing or casting of anything tangible. This is the Greek dictionary definition of the word cast. And I was impressed with the last part of this definition, throwing or casting anything tangible. Anything tangible. Our trials, our conflicts, our illnesses, our aches, our pains, our debts, our burdens, our hardships, they're all real, aren't they? They are tangible. Now, sometimes you can't necessarily see them and you can't necessarily touch them with your hand, but you can feel them. These things are real. They are tangible. Let's turn to Exodus 15 and read verse 25. Where God instructed Moses to use this casting motion, to cast, to throw out, to hurl, to toss. Moses was in a situation here where the people had a need and he had no way of supplying that need. They were complaining against him. And what recourse did he have? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters, the waters became sweet. They were at a place where they needed water. And they found water, but the water was bitter. And God told Moses to do this, to cast a tree into the waters. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but God's ways don't necessarily have to make sense to us. Our part is to obey. Moses obeyed. And of course, the waters became drinkable at that time. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. This is the New Testament version, if you will, of casting the tree into the waters. The tree would represent the Lord Jesus Christ as we, as it were, throw him into the mix. As we allow him to come into our situation, he does make the bitter waters sweet. Whether it's a physical pain or whether it's some economic problem or whatever the problem might be, whatever your burden might be. As Jesus comes in to the situation, he makes those situations that are very bitter, he makes them sweet because of his presence. Peter exhorts us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How often do we forget in the midst of a situation, whatever that situation might be? I'm not trying to limit this situation at all. It covers everything that is unpleasant in our life, in this life that we live here upon this earth. Every situation, whatever it is, if it's an acre of pain, if it's a family situation, or if it's a marital situation, or whatever, cast it upon the Lord. How often we forget that privilege that we have is to cast it upon him. Give it to the Lord. Wait upon him, and he will lead you in the right path. So often since we know that God cares for us, we're prone to do absolutely nothing. You know, God will take care of it. Well, God doesn't move in the same way each and every time, does he? There are times when God definitely leads us to do something, not in our own strength and our own wisdom, but in the might of his strength and wisdom. It's not that we just sit back and twiddle our thumbs and everything will turn out okay. No, there's an action here. To me, I'm impressed at how many scriptures there are that indicate that there is to be an action on our part. We are not passive in this thing. We don't just sit back and like a brick on a wall or in a wall. There is something for us to do. And in this case, it is to take the action of casting our burden upon the Lord. Paul says, I can do all things. That's action. I can do all things, but through Christ who strengthens me. And that's our weak point at times. Sometimes we just can't understand the difference between our own efforts, which will always fail, and the efforts that we put forth through Jesus Christ, as we do what he exhorts us to do. The word burden is that which is given a lot, a great, not a lot in a great abundance, but a lot as something given to you, a gift. That which is your portion. Now, I'm giving you here the Greek definition. I didn't make this up. Your burden is that which is given. It can also mean a gift. Jacinus in his lexicon has this to say, cast upon Jehovah what he has given or laid upon you. That is your lot. The phrase here means what he appoints for you, what he allots to you as your portion, what in the great distribution of things is his work in this world he has assigned to you to be done or to be born. I made this statement before, and I'll make it again. Sometimes you have to repeat yourself, I guess. And the older you get, the more you can do it. But I have observed through my lifetime, which is getting a little lengthy now, and I have observed God's people, and it has always impressed me how that some have this certain trial, this certain burden in their life. And they overcome. And others have something entirely different, but they overcome also. Is it possible that God assigns these burdens to us? Everyone that's here tonight has a special burden, that is a special heavy something in your life that is peculiar to you. And what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to look at somebody else that doesn't have this burden. And, you know, the old complaint, why me? Why me? I can't answer that question, and you don't need to ask it either. You need to understand that if God has given it to you, if that is what your lot in life is, so to speak, that you can cast it all on Him. God has given you that, whatever it is, so that you can cast it on Him. He will be glorified, and you will be honored and blessed by Him. We're to receive the allotment as coming from Him. What He has in His infinite wisdom assigned to us as our portion in this life, as what He has judged to be best to do or to bear, and our part of toil or trouble or sacrifice in this life. Not that we go through life saying, oh me, oh my, this terrible load that I have to bear, this terrible load that God has put on me, this terrible whatever, that could be sickness or situation or whatever. As we look at this statement, it seems kind of arbitrary, doesn't it? Even unfair, unjust. It's just not right. It's just not right that I have this particular situation in my life and Brother Bob doesn't. That's just not fair at all. You know, if I got to do it, so should he. That's kind of the way we think, and I would agree with that. But there's more. What are we to do with that burden? You see, let's just don't get stuck here with the burden. I had to mention it to get to where I want to go. But the point here, the emphasis is not the burden, but what you do with it. It's not the burden, it's not the load, it's not what we're going through, but what has God exhorted us to do? What can you do with that allotment? Yes, God has put that or given that to you. He has allowed that in your life. But why? So that you can cast it upon Him. That portion that's assigned to us, we're to cast upon the Lord. And since it is indeed His appointment, we should receive it, submit to it, but without complaining. God has seen fit to allow this situation in my life. Why? So that He would be glorified. That's what God is looking for in your life and my life, that He might be glorified in our situation. So since it is such, we should receive it without complaint. And since it is His appointment, we can be assured of this fact, that no more has been given than the ability which He has given us to bear what was given. This is also part of my observation. I often wondered, why did this particular saint have so much to go through, so much heartache, so much heaviness, so much that's unpleasant in life? But as I observed that saint, I saw how God worked in that life. And as I grew older and studied the Word of God more and understood God's ways, I come to understand that God had given that person the strength that was necessary for that burden. God will never allow us to be tempted more than we are able to bear. Let's read Psalm 37, verse 5. Sort of another way of saying, cast your burden. Cast your burden. And as I know some situations, and I say, Lord, thank you that's not my situation. Because I don't think that I would have what it takes to overcome in that situation. And you do, as I observe and watch as the Lord lays burdens upon you, as He allows situations in your life. I see that there is the working of the Lord in your life. He doesn't call me to go the way that you go and through what you have to go through, but that's because He hasn't given me the strength to do that. But He has given you that strength Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass in his infinite wisdom. He will bring it to pass because he gave it. He allowed it. And now what you do, what I do, is we give it back. Here is this burden. Here is this load upon me. Here is this situation that I cannot overcome. You gave it, Lord. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give it back to you and allow you to work your will in my life. He will take care of it. God will take care of you. I think you know that song. God will take care of you through every day and all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart does fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, and that's your whole life through till Jesus comes, all you may need, he will provide. Provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied as you ask in God's will concerning this allotment. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. The third word is sustain. He will sustain you. He will sustain you. The word means basically to keep in, hence to measure, and then to maintain. It has the basic thought of keeping in or to measure, and so to maintain. King James translates this Hebrew word in with several different words that I'll read here. Just read a list of how this word is translated in the King James Version. Comprehend. He will comprehend you. Contain. He will contain you. Feed. He will feed you. It's translated guide. He will guide you. It's translated hold. He will hold you. It's translated nourish. He will nourish you. It's translated to be present. He will be present with you. It's translated make provision. He will make provision for you. And it's also translated receive. He will receive you. That this word has a very extensive meaning. Sustain. The Greek English lexicon has this meaning: to measure or to calculate. To measure or to calculate. This is a wonderful thought to me. Remember, God has everything already calculated, down to the last tiny detail concerning your well-being as his child. Have you ever thought of that? God has already made all the calculation. He knew you from before the beginning. He knew what your life would be. He knew what he would allow in your life. And he's made all the calculations, and he doesn't miss. He doesn't miscalculate. Everything that you will ever need, he has already provided. Cast your care upon him. He will indeed sustain you. He will hold you up. He will take you through the situation. God will give the measure of strength and grace in proportion to the lot that he has given. Remember that. God will give the measure. He's already calculated. My child is going to go through this situation. He's going to need, or she's going to need, this amount of strength to get through it. I've got that measure. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. We quote it, and we do well to quote it. I trust that it is stamped on your heart somewhere so that the Holy Spirit can bring it to you time and time again. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Those everlasting arms are never removed. Those everlasting arms never get tired. Those everlasting arms never hang down. Those everlasting arms are always alert. They will always be there. In Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah makes mention of God's care for Israel. As he took them out of a land of plenty, out of a land where they at least had melons and leeks and garlic. They were happy to have had that, I guess. So I'm not going to complain about them. They liked it. Then he took them through a desert where there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. But Nehemiah says in verse 21 of chapter 9, 40 years you sustained them. There's the word again. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. First look at it, they did not smell. No, they did not swell. I guess I better get better. Anyway, whatever is necessary, God will do. It could have been that way if that was God's will. But God sustained where there was no way to be sustained. God's provision is complete. There's many references we could look to, but let's pass over them and go to the last statement here. Going back to our verse, Psalm 55, verse 22. As a conclusion, he will not allow the righteous to waver. He will not allow the righteous to be moved or to waver. The Amplified reads here in this verse, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. I like that added phrase. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. We kind of, you know, cast it on the Lord a little bit, but it's still a heavy burden. You know, I've given this thing over to the Lord, but it's still heavy. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. And he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. It means to waver. The word moved means to waver. By implication, to slip, to shake, to fall. Once again, the King James translates it in various ways. To be carried away, to be out of course, to be fallen in decay. And I want to use especially the middle phrase here. He will not allow the righteous to be out of course. He will not allow the righteous to be out of course. Remember, God has set a course before each one of us. It's his course. He's planned it out. And he leads us to it and through it. And he will never allow the righteous to be out of course if they will do what we've already talked about. As we yield to him and cast all our cares upon him, he will not allow us to be out of course. Not out of sorts. That's a different subject. Be off the course, out of course. Let's turn to Acts 18, verse 10. Acts 18 and verse 10. Well, we see this principle applied to God's dealings with the Apostle Paul. Anytime you get to thinking that you have too hard of a burden or more than's really fair, read the life of Paul. See if your situation is worse than his. I doubt it. Or you can always go to Job. Acts 18 and verse 10. God said to Paul, to encourage him, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. I'm not going to allow you to get off the course, to get out of course. So he says, no one will attack you to hurt you. The King James says, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. That's an interesting expression. You get the picture of this great big old fat guy sitting on, well, that's not right. Don't strike that from the record. No man shall sit on thee to hurt thee. Now, God didn't promise Paul that no one would sit on him, or as the New King James says, to attack him. He didn't say, now Paul, I'm with you, I'm for you, I'm there for you, and nobody's going to ever attack you. Nobody's ever going to get in your way. Nobody's ever going to mess with you, or well, let's just stop with that. The promise was that he wouldn't suffer eternal loss. You got to read the whole thing. You've got to listen to all that God said. No one will attack you to hurt you. Now, he's not talking here about his feelings getting hurt, or about maybe giving him a few stripes here and there. That probably hurt. But he's talking about eternity. Paul, you will not be hurt eternally. There will be no eternal loss. Though they do attack you, though they do set on you, though they do these things to you, I am with you, and it will not result in eternal loss. No one, nor any circumstance could cause him to be off course as he trusted the Lord, as he walked in harmony with the Lord. So after years of suffering, the Lord said, no man will sit on you to hurt you, but he got hurt. That man got hurt a lot. And so after years of suffering and experiencing one trial after another, one battle after another, what did Paul say when he came to the end of his life? 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7, I'm reading here from the King James. 2 Timothy 4:7. The Lord kept his word, didn't he? He was set on many, many, many times. He was attacked many, many, many times. He suffered hardships. He suffered heartaches. He suffered pains. He suffered so many things. But when he came to the end of his life, he could say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He didn't get off course. God did not allow him to get off course. I have kept the faith. Go back to the Psalms. Read a few Psalms in closing here. Psalm 16 and verse 8. Psalm 16 and verse 8. What a wonderful promise we have here, that God will not allow us to get off course. He has set a course before us. And as we trust him and as we learn to throw every burden upon him, he will see to it that indeed we will not get off course. Psalm 16 and verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. There's the secret. Paul did this. David did this. Other faithfuls of the Old Testament did this. They set the Lord always before them. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The same word, the same thought. I will not be out of course. I will not be moved, not because I am so good and so wonderful, so spiritual and so strong, but because I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord was his focal point always, and he must be ours also. Psalm 37. Verses 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're calculated, they're set out, they're measured by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, Paul, people are going to sit on you. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I don't know whether I would be out of place to say there are thousands, but I think that perhaps we could find thousands of promises in the Word of God along this line, the care of the Lord. And our part is simply to cast our burden upon Him. Psalm 121, first three verses. Psalm 121, the first three verses. Cast your burden on the Lord, He shall sustain you. He shall never permit you or permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. There it is again, stated in just a little bit different way. The writer was looking to the Lord for his help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will not allow your foot to get off course. He who keeps you will not slumber. He is the eternal God. He is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's close with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Cast your burden, that which God has given you to bear, cast it upon Him. He will sustain you. He will sustain you. He has calculated all that you need, and He will supply it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I don't know what eternity will be like. I don't know all that God will allow us to see and to know. But I think it would be interesting if on the other side the Lord would allow us to look at our life as He looks at it right now, and see how that all of the hardships, all of the heartaches, all of the burdens, all the difficulties, how they worked something for us of eternal value. We'll see the end product. Yes. We'll know the end product. But I think it would be interesting. If I had a request I could give, it's not mine to say. I'll be happy with whatever He allows us to know and to understand. But I think that would be enlightening, at least, to look back and see the times that we thought, there's just no way out of this. I'm not coming out of this one. This is just too much. And yet see how God worked, and how His hand was in it all. We'll know, we'll understand on the other side, and we'll rejoice. But may the Lord give us eyes to see now, in a measure at least, as we go through these things, just how important it is to literally throw it on the Lord, toss it on the Lord, leaving the weight of it with Him. He has taken that upon Himself. You don't have to ask Him to bear your burden. He's already borne your burden. He's already done it. He just wants you to allow to make it real in your life. Let's stand and worship the Lord. In closing, the altars are always open. But let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's thank Him for all that He is doing. And I trust that you don't think He's not doing anything, because He is. Maybe you don't understand it, but we can thank Him for it anyway and allow Him to work great things in our lives. I believe that we should be expecting great things to be done by God in our lives. We're not particularly great people, but we belong to the great God, and He does great things in us. Let's allow Him to work as He wants to work in our lives. Let's worship the Lord together, and ask Brother Kyle, if he would, to dismiss us.